All right. Hello, hello to whoever's listening. My name is Stephen Woods. Today, I'm sitting here with my good friend, Musab Abu Zaid, a.k.a. Moose. Moose, say hi to the people.
Hi, how you doing, whoever's listening?
So today, the subject of conversation is going to be about faith. And today, I have Moose, and he and his family are Muslim and practice Islam. So, I mean, just to start off, Moose, just to walk me through your level of spirituality, talk like how you got introduced to it. Are you practicing? Are you not? You know, just give me a wide picture.
Okay, this might take a bit to explain, but so basically, right? I was not born here in the States, but I'm technically from Laconia, New Hampshire. It's like 30 minutes away. Grew up there, basically raised there. But I was born in Dubai, and I know that. My father and mother both met in Dubai through work. My father was from Palestine, so his practiced Islam his whole life, he's Muslim. And my mother and father met in Dubai, and she converted to Islam. So, I mean, I'll just be flat out honest and say that I don't think, I guess if someone asked me my religion or faith, I am Muslim, but because of how I was raised here in America and the things I was exposed to, I wouldn't say I'm a true Muslim. Like, I don't really fully practice the ways of Islam, but I understand the idea. Like, I was introduced to the ways of it when I was a young kid. I remember, like, things like that. I don't know if that's one of your questions, but
No. You're good. Keep going.
Let's see. And when I was a kid, introduced to it, my father tried getting me to do like the ways of Islam, like praying five times a day, like facing in the direction of Mecca. And the biggest thing for me that I remembered is the whole idea of, what is it? Not eating pork. Yeah. I did that for a long time in my life, but I will say I do consume pork.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon tastes really good. Sorry to say, it's very bad of me. But yeah, that's just like the synopsis. I would consider myself Muslim. My father is a Muslim. I don't think he practices too seriously anymore because of how life is, you know, here in America. But yeah, that's that.
So, you know, when you were younger and you were being introduced to it and your family was still practicing, did you guys used to go to a mosque or is there one in Laconia, or was it more of like a just kind of practice on your own kind of thing?
That's the thing. It was more so like practicing your own. Like, I remember my dad would show me how to pray, like the right things to do, the right things to say. And I can't speak a lick of Arabic, which sucks, but there was no mosque, which I feel like for any Muslims in Laconia makes it much more difficult because a mosque is like your holy place. It's like church for Christians.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. Never really realized that.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you say you're not practicing anymore. You say, you know, life in America makes it hard to, you know, to stay on that righteous path. What would you say? Are the components of our society that make it difficult like that? You know, as opposed to over there.
Yeah. So, I think the biggest thing here in America is how I don't mean to speak out of my ass here, but like the whole carefreeness, not really carefreeness, but like, dude, if I were to be a devout Muslim, you probably wouldn't see me here right now. We probably would have never met.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think growing up as a kid, like, you just want to fit in. You want to be like everyone else, you know?
Right.
And it was just the idea of like my father, my super strict Middle Eastern father, like trying to introduce this way of life to me. And I was just like, no, I don't really want that, you know? And it's little things, like at lunch I was hungry and they were serving like sausage links. They're mm-hmm. There's pork in that.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, dude, slide me a sausage link. Like, let me know, because they knew that I couldn't eat that, so they didn't give me sausage links.
Mm.
Sorry if I swear, if this is like ruining.
No. It's better to have an honest conversation than to have nothing at all.
Okay.
So, I mean, so there's these things that, you know, you kind of, you know, you look at and you're like, oh, I don't want to live without this.
Yeah.
And that comes down to, you know, the kind of laws and restrictions that Islam will put on its people, like just like any other religion would.
Yeah.
So, I mean, mainly other than the whole like eating pork thing, like, do you think there's anything else major in there that you just simply couldn't live with if you chose to, or live without if you chose to, you know, practice again?
I mean, if I knew like the, I guess all the tenets you could say, or like the pillars of Islam and like how you're supposed to live your life, I feel like I could probably pick something that, like, or think, so if I could think of something that I had to follow in Islam, if I was like a true Muslim, if I knew everything, I could probably like go without a lot of the things in America or like the way things are here. But I don't know. I feel like if I really wanted to, I could just give up pork, give up alcohol, that type of stuff, pray 5 times a day. I feel like if I truly cared, I could live a life like that. But I don't know. It's more so like me getting older, coming of age, that made me realize like this is something that was introduced to me. It's a part of my like family and bloodline, but it isn't something that I have to do because it's my own life, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you probably have stuff like that in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, how it's for me personally, just being vaguely Christian. Yes. You know, I was as a kid, and same kind of situation. I was as a kid, and then we moved churches, and my dad didn't like the pastor was kind of pushing his own personal agenda through the sermon, so we stopped going. But I'm kind of on the same page as, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, especially when you're a college student,
yes,
to stay on the straight and narrow. And
of course here, you know, especially.
Oh my, yeah. Yes, especially my in this town specifically, yes, too. Cause there's not a whole lot else to do other than, you know, get into some trouble. So,
this isn't the question, but I feel like you would agree with this. Like, I do not take back a single thing I've done.
No.
Up to this point in my life, because it made you, makes you who you are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole point, is you got to live and you got to learn.
Exactly, right? Man.
So kind of switching gears, I know you were saying, you know, you're kind of away from it and everything, but do you believe in an afterlife? And if you do, what do you think it looks like?
Oh boy. I know that within Islam, there's a certain belief, and I think there's a certain belief in the afterlife. I know that, I forgot which side of it is, like Sunni or Shia, but like this might, I might be talking out of my ass here again, but one of the sides is like, if you live your life a certain way, and when you die, you get like 72 virgins or something. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm pulling that out here randomly, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly what I would believe in terms of Islam, but I would like to think there's some sort of afterlife, whether it's like reincarnation or something,
right?
Because like, dude, if you died and all it was blackness, like when you close your eyes, like that would be a miserable ending.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess it really just comes down to like, do you believe in people having souls?
Exactly.
Right. Like, yes. I mean, if you're an atheist, you're walking around basically assuming that people are just their shells.
Yes.
Right? You're just assuming that these people are just flesh and bone, brain, yeah, exactly. You know, 70% water, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I it sounds like you believe, and I like to believe as well, that, you know, there's more to our existence than just, you know, flesh and bone. Yeah. Right? Like
I don't know if it comes down to when it's all said and done, judgment day comes and there's some higher being, whether it's Jesus or Allah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he divides your meat suit and the soul, and is like, your soul is pure, your soul is not pure. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it really comes down to that, but I'd like to believe that there's something that happens afterwards, and it's not just blackness.
Yeah.
That would stink.
And this is something I think about a lot as I get older, because, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you're kind of forced to go to church, and you're like, man, screw this. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're singing the same hymns, you're, you know, week after week, and, you know, everything else. But, you know, as I get older, I'm wondering if this is the same for you, but I'm starting to find the value, not necessarily in like going back to church again or anything like that, but, you know, kind of diving into the values and like the way the Bible or the Quran or whatever you believe in kind of tries to shape you as a person.
Yes.
Do you kind of come back to that and go like, man, you know, some of these things that they were trying to teach me as a kid, like they were right.
Yeah.
And I just kind of ignored them. Does that like happen to you a whole lot?
All the time. I can remember my father saying, and like random people I meet, like that I've met throughout my life, saying like, just like being a Muslim is like treating everyone, like a way of being a Muslim is treating everyone equally, respectfully, just like looking at them as a human being as good as you can be to them, like no judgment, no harshness.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't really know the person. And that didn't really stick with me until like maybe like a few years ago when I was like 20, 21. Like if I could go back and find an English translation of the Quran, I would love to just read through the whole thing and kind of pick and choose what I want to follow and keep in my life.
Right.
And like one of the first questions you asked me, like, I could do away with this, do away with that, but I want to keep these. You
know right. What I mean? Yeah. No, and honestly, I think that's, I feel like that's the way a lot of people practice religion, especially in this country today.
Yes.
Like, I feel like, you know, there's hardcore Christians out there, right?
Yeah.
That are, you know, they hate gay people and, you know, whatever, but you know, they still had premarital sex.
Yeah.
And they still like, you know, they still go out and drink on the weekends and like, you know, and they engage in, you know, gluttony and, you know, whatever else. And they're not kind of their neighbors. And it's become apparent that people do like, it, just like we're talking about, people kind of pick and choose like what they kind of choose to believe in, which, you know, I can't blame them because we're talking about doing the same thing, right?
Exactly.
But you kind of look at some of these people that pass judgment, right? People that, you know, try to act like they're holier than thou, and a lot of them are hypocrites.
Yes.
And so, like, at what point do you become that versus us? And, like, I don't know where to draw the line there. Do you?
No, that's the thing. I think, that's good. That was really good. I don't even know how to like answer that, I guess. But a lot of people are hypocrites a lot of people are hypocrites, but I think it's just a matter of like, I don't know, not like making religion like who you are, you know what I mean? Like, for example, sorry if I offend anyone in this class, but let's say you do sales here, because I met a couple people here at this school that are like, hi, I am sales. This is sales. I am 100% sales. My name is sales. Like, do not live your life. Like, do not make your following or what you believe in or your ideology like your, like who you become as a person. I think that's like the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, don't. There's a word for it, but I can't think of it.
I don't know the word you're looking for, but I mean, I agree. Like, I think it comes down to really like, Can you practice what you want to practice and still, you know, be normal? And not only that, but can you separate yourself and look at other people that aren't doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's these people that, you know, the hypocrites we were talking about, the people that are, you know, loudmouths and they, you know, they look down on other people, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, if there's anything that religion should teach anybody, it's to, you know, be kind to others. It's, you know, be understanding, you know. And
yes.
I think that's probably around where the line is can you practice, you know, and do it in a way where you're faithful and you don't need to scream it from the rooftops.
Yeah, that.
And still treat everybody the same.
That is where the line is, exactly, I think.
All right. Well, let's see, moving on. So I have a couple of vocab words here. I just want to rattle off at you. I've seen these a lot, especially online. So I'm just going to rattle them off here. I've inshallah. What is it?
Yeah. So inshallah is like, I believe it's in God's will, or if God wills it. So like, okay. as a kid, I remember being like with my squeaker voice, I'm 9 years old, like, hey dad, can I get this Xbox game? And he'd be like, inshallah. Which is like, oh, if God wills it. But in my head, I'm like, that's bullshit. It's if you will it, man. Not if some higher power wills it.
as far as I'm concerned, Allah is not swiping the credit card, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. The next one is Bismillah.
Yeah. I don't know what it means, but I know that when I was growing up as a kid, every time before I ate a meal, I'd say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah. I don't know what it means exactly, but I do remember this. But I'm getting like nom flashbacks right now.
I love it. And this is an easy one. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I think that's like if I was like, hi, do you know what any of this means?
No.
Oh, so if I was like Keith Halleck or like Keefik, and you were like, what the fuck is it? Keith Halleck. If I was like Keith Halleck and you were like, kulu tamam, like, hey, how are you? You'd be like, is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that just means like, yes, like everything's good. I'm doing all right.
Basically. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. I think this one is just, it's just praise be to Allah, but Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go to it. Cause you, everyone knows where they hear that in majority, like in a movie where someone's like depicting a suicide bomber. Right?
Yeah.
Like, nah, dude, it's fine. Dude, we're getting to it. Nitty gritty, man. Allahu Akbar is just like praise be to Allah. So like, again, I'm going to go there. When someone blows themselves up, it's like, praise be to Allah. Like they think what they're doing is in God's will. It's in God's name. It's what God wants, you know, like that's why it's said.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's all I have for vocab. Now,
this is wild.
Yeah, right? No, I haven't had a real spiritual talk in a long time. I guess has there ever been a point in your life since you kind of gave up on it where, you know, something bad happens or you're hoping for something that you, do you ever revert back to it? You know, say a little prayer or anything like that?
I think when I was in middle school, maybe, or like early stages of high school, if I was ever down bad in life or if my family wasn't doing okay, I don't remember it now, but there's like a prayer in Arabic that my father taught me and I just like go over it in my head. But as I got older, I kind of strayed away from everything. Mm. It's like, you know, I came to my own age and kind of have my own beliefs now about life. Mm. Like life has its own natural way of doing stuff. With highs come lows, with lows come highs,
mm-hmm.
type of stuff.
And you say you have your own beliefs. What, just a brief overview, what kind of are those beliefs and what has kind of led you to have them?
Okay. I remember reading a question there. It was like some sort of spiritual awakening. I think, what was it? So my own, this broad basic beliefs, like, of course, the basics, like, be a good human, treat people with kindness, everyone's equal, you're not above or below anyone. And sure, if it gets down to, like, socioeconomic status, like, sure, you could be above or below someone, but that's bullshit. You shouldn't be looking at someone that way. Try to find the good in people whenever I can. Do what you want to do, not what everyone else wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a major thing in my life that made me like develop my own sense of thinking was probably eating shrooms. And I'm relating shrooms to this because shrooms can be seen as a spiritual, you know, some sort of awakening. It can make people kind of quote unquote wake up in a way. Yeah.
I'm
eating mushrooms.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I mean, For the sake of the conversation, I mean, to be honest, I kind of did the same thing. I was in a really bad place and I was thinking about going on medication, right, yeah, for anxiety and whatever. And instead, I dosed myself heavily. And I apologize, Professor, if this conversation isn't what you wanted, but the reality of it is that these do work. Like they make you kind of aware of a dimension, not a dimension, because that sounds, you know, sci-fi-ish, but a part of our life that we can't normally see, yes, or feel.
Yes.
And it, you know, regardless of whether you come out of it, you know, in a religion or, you know, you come out of it and you just know that there's something there. Like for me, it kind of confirmed to me that there's something bigger. Yeah, than all of this.
The bigger picture.
You know, it, like, I don't know about you, but I could feel, like, waves of energy. around me.
Yeah.
And things like that. And, you know, that's what kind of made it. Okay, so we had a little technical difficulty. My phone went on low battery and somehow paused the recording. So I'm sorry if we, you know, if the conversation's a little choppy or if we miss anything. But I would say the long and the short of what Moose and I were just discussing, you know, in the absence of recording, was how mushrooms. Not only in our own personal experience, but in, you know, scientific trials have been proven to, you know, kind of grant the user a kind of awakening.
Yes.
We were talking about, you know, we could feel things and see things that,
yeah.
you know, it's a part of our reality always, but it's not until you do something like that, that you finally kind of realize that it's real and it's there.
Yeah.
I think it all just comes down to energy. You know what I mean?
You say an energy. I don't know if you could feel this, but again, Professor Tillman, we're talking about mushrooms. Sorry, this is not what you wanted. I don't know if it cut off that part of when we apologized for this conversation, but like this is, I feel like, as authentic as it can get. But Stephen Few, when you ate mushrooms, at least for me, there was a point when I'm using the terminology of peaking, or, you know, I'm in the trip.
Right, right.
Where I could like look at someone. And I could like analyze them in seconds, like, okay, this person is just a filler of my life. Like they're more of an acquaintance than a friend at all. And I could look at this person and be like, this is a true friend. I could call them at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
if they needed me.
Correct.
And I could look at a tree and be like, holy shit, this thing has been here and seen more life than I ever will in my entire existence.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I took too much for a first dose. Because I was doing the same thing, but furthermore, I could also, like, I could see, like, an aura energy around these people.
Yeah.
And it was unfortunate because I looked around and there were some people in the room that didn't have one.
Yes.
And I was like, well, first of all, it made me wonder why that is. But in another sense, it was like, I wonder if they maybe had bad energy or a lack of it, because I mean, if it's a lack of it, then that person's going to be leeching yours.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, it was uncomfortable because I was surrounded by friends, like people that I liked, and all of a sudden I was like, man, like, is this person like,
yeah,
you know,
it's
is he really like who he says he is?
Like, yeah.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. But you know, it's kind of funny because we're talking about how this kind of we're talking about this as if it was a very common experience, which it was, but the outcome was completely different. You kind of went off and you formed your own beliefs and you found in yourself what you really wanted to believe in. And me, I kind of just went running back to right where I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder, like, how many people go in each direction.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd love to see if there was statistics on this sort of thing, which I'm pretty sure there isn't.
Yeah.
But
that makes me wonder if when you were being raised, your faithfulness was more so than mine to your own respective religion. Like maybe you were more involved in your religion than I was in mine.
It's possible. I mean, I did some youth group stuff and,
yeah.
you know, I was, you know, we were in church, I would say at least every other week, you yeah. know, so.
I was one of the few brown people in Laconia at the time. So. Yeah, basically.
Oh, man. Well, shoot. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to the people? Anything you want to leave them off with? I'm all out of questions here, and I don't think there's too much more to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, if I could leave this whole conversation off with one thing, I think it's that faithfulness can or can't be an important part of someone's life. It's truly up to you to do what you want with your life. But for me, just as the person being interviewed, having a Muslim family has definitely impacted me in the ways that I've grown to be as a person. But I'll say it again, man. Mushrooms is probably the key takeaway of what made me who I am today, I could be totally honest.
Absolutely. Well, to the people listening, I hope this was at least mildly interesting for you. I think we're going to leave it off there. So, you know, just be a good person, choose your own path, and, you know, hopefully we won't have to do this again. But if we do, I'll talk to you later.